accountability.
Welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, I'll explain why these things are happening. The only challenge this morning is there's about 200 hours of things that we should be discussing and only about 45 minutes of time. In our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant. If you are rational, this will be the best part of today's program. Our numbers, should you want to engage in the conversation, affirm or criticize anything I have to say, is 877-300-7645. This morning I had intended to continue the discussion we were having regarding the so-called Arab Spring, which is really a Muslim Reformation, and we will get to that this morning. But I was struck by an article that I read in the Los Angeles Times this morning, and I wanted to speak briefly to you about it. It was so tragic, so sad, but yet so all-encompassing in its scope as to why God does want us to disassociate from our country, from patriotism, from religion, from politics, from militarism. Sort of encapsulates everything that is wrong with the world as we know it. The story is of Christians fleeing Syria. Now, for those who are listening to the program, you know that I'm not sympathetic to Christians. I think that their religion, in fact, I don't think, I know for a fact that their religion is unreliable, that it is a complete and utter fraud. But that does not mean that I am not sympathetic to Christians. In fact, I am also sympathetic to Muslims, even though I know that the religion is a vile, deceitful, and vicious doctrine. Always sympathetic to the victims of political and religious and military schemes. Well, in Syria, the Christians are fleeing by the tens of thousands. And what's interesting, and I read a number of articles before the uprising in Syria, where Christians were siding with Assad. And it's the same thing that happened with the Mubarak regime in Egypt. It's the same thing that happened with Saddam Hussein in Iraq. The reality is that Christians are able to live, even though they have virtually no rights and are treated as worse than we treat our pets in America. They at least have the right to exist, to live, when an Islamic country has a secular government. When that government is replaced by an Islamic government, they're decimated. Since the American invasion of Afghanistan, where we allegedly went into Afghanistan to liberate the country and give them democracy, well, the imams told the Shia Muslims to vote for the Shia Islamic candidate that was funded and guided by the mullahs in Tehran, and they did. And what was a secular country is now a country run by the mullahs in Tehran. The Christians have been decimated as a result of America's invasion of Iraq. When America forced Israel to give up Gaza and then forced Israel to cede control of the West Bank to Muslims, the Christian population at the time was about 20%. It is now less than 1%. The Christians have been decimated. The same thing now is true in Syria. The Christians know that the Mujahideen, the jihadists that are opposing Assad, are fundamentalist Muslims, far more fundamentalist than the regime that is in control of Syria, and that as they gain power, and even in the process of fighting for control, they will decimate Christians. The 10% population of Syria that is Christian will become less than 1%, as Christians will be slaughtered, and they know it. What it does here is to awaken us to a harsh reality. It is just like American politics, where when we do a program on politics, I strongly urge you not to engage on behalf of either party. Don't support either party. Don't ever associate yourself with the lesser of two evils. This is why I don't want America engaging in Syria. It is appropriate for us to expose and condemn both sides in Syria. It is appropriate for us to explain why both sides in Syria are wrong. But when we engage with one side or the other, when we participate in a battle between what we think are the lesser of two evils, we often and usually make things worse. Don't do it. Assad is a horrible dictator. The Mujahideen, the jihadists who are fighting against Assad, are worse. Saddam Hussein was a horrible dictator. The government of Iraq now is far worse. We need to be very careful when we intervene. The only tool that is effective when you're dealing with a battle between the lesser of two evils is information and reason. Expose the truth. Speak boldly about it. Don't associate with either side. And urge all who are rational to do the same. A great tragedy is taking place in Syria. There is no way to make it better, save the eradication of religion from this planet. Now, returning to the story we were covering that was labeled the Arab Spring Runs Amok, where we pointed out yesterday that there is no such thing as an Arab Spring. This is an Islamic reformation, and that proof is all over this article. The story continues with El Balad adds that supporters of Taflik Okasha, another vocal critic of President Mohamed Morsi, the one who widely disseminated the graphic video of a Muslim apostate. A Muslim apostate means a Muslim who has renounced the religion. Now, the reason that that is scary in the Islamic world, if you are a Muslim, a bad Muslim, you're just a Muslim because you were born into the Islamic religion, and you come to realize, you use your mind, evidence and reason, to come to recognize that Islam is the dumbest religion ever conceived, and that it is grotesquely immoral and vicious, savage, then good Muslims are ordered to kill you. You know, of course, the Quran says there should be no compulsion in religion, and then in the fourth surah, one of the last revealed, it says if a Muslim rejects his religion, kill him. So this is a presentation, a video presentation that was widely disseminated of a Muslim apostate being slaughtered to cries of Allahu Akbar. We devoted much of yesterday's program to what Allahu Akbar means when it was first used. Its association with Kabar, its association with Satan and Yahweh, and Satan's desire to be greater than Yahweh. If you have not listened to that show, if this is the first time you've tuned in, I would encourage you to listen to that archive of yesterday's show. So Muslims shouting Allahu Akbar, the Islamic prayer of fear, the same thing that the Muslims shouted as they flew planes into our buildings on 9/11. The same thing that they shout every time they perpetrate an act of terrorism. And good Muslims perpetrate 99% of the terrorist acts in the world today. They gathered around the presidential palace to slaughter this man. They were then surrounded by Brotherhood supporters who attacked those who were trying to film the episode, trying to hold the Muslims accountable. The Muslim Brotherhood supporters attacked them with sticks, with knives, and with Molotov cocktails. And this is a direct quote, crucifying some of them on trees, leading to the deaths of two and wounding dozens, end quote. Far from condemning these terrorists, Al-Azhar Al-Azhar says in this article, is Egypt's most authoritative Islamic institution. Al-Azhar is a university in Cairo. It is the foundation of Sunni Islam and its theology. Most of the fundamentalist terrorist organizations that have emerged from the Muslim Brotherhood were first born and bred in Al-Azhar University. It is the most respected Islamic institution on the planet today. And it is the wellspring from which virtually every Islamic terrorist organization of the Sunni side of Islam has emerged. It is also Egypt's most authoritative Islamic institution. It issued a fatwa. A fatwa is a religious decree. I have a fatwa on me. I am worth millions dead. It issued a fatwa calling for more violence and oppression, saying that, quote, fighting participants in anti-Muslim Brotherhood demonstrations planned for the 24th of August is a religious obligation, end quote. The most credible Islamic institution on earth, Al-Azhar University, said that if you do not fight any opponents of the Muslim Brotherhood, then you are failing in your religion. It is a religious obligation. You know, goddamn religion. God hates religion. All religions. Not just that religion, every religion. He hates religion because religion is about obligation. It's about religious duty. It's about obedience to the religion. Religions have caused more deaths than every disease known to man. Religions are horrible things. God hates them for this very reason. Here, the leaders of the Islamic revolution and religion are ordering Muslims to fight anyone who opposes the Muslim Brotherhood, calling it a religious obligation. Well, we'll return after the break to this story about what's actually happening in Egypt and why, so that you understand the consequence of tolerating Islam, why it is deadly to put our heads in the sand and pretend that this is not happening. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. As we continue to examine this story out of Egypt, one of the things that is startling to me, that's not startling, that's probably an inappropriate term. One of the things that is disheartening is that here you had Al-Azhar University, which is the literal center of Sunni Islamic faith in the world. Just imagine if Roman Catholicism represented 90% of Christendom as opposed to about a quarter of Christendom. Then, because Sunni Islam represents 90% of Islam. Now, imagine the Roman Catholic Church then issuing a decree, but now they represent 90% of Christians, issuing a decree, calling it a religious order, for Christians to pick up whatever weapons, arms they have, and to attack all of those who oppose the Vatican. And to call it a religious duty for them to do so. Now, if they did so, would that not make it to the front page of every newspaper? Would that not be the top of the news in the world? And yet, that is what happened this past week in Egypt. Al-Azhar University is the Vatican of Islam, Sunni Islam. And this is what they said. And I dare say you haven't heard this, you haven't read it anywhere. You know, this is not some guy out there in the sticks like Osama bin Laden saying, "Hey boy, I want all Muslims as a fatwa I'm issuing here, which is a religious edict, to go wage war against the Boy Scouts on behalf of the Girl Scouts." This is the center, the very pillar of Islam on planet Earth. Most of the aforementioned Arabic sites, these were the list of Arabic news media sites that we covered yesterday, point out that these attacks are all part of the Muslim Brotherhood's campaign to intimidate and thus censor Egypt's secular media from exposing the group's Islamist agenda, which Yom 7 on TV and Okasia do daily. Note that the latter channels was recently shut down, despite Morsi's previous reassurances that no station or media will be shut down in my era. He's a month into the job. He shut down the first of them. He'll shut down the second. And understand that in the West, everybody just had a field day in the media when they proclaimed Mohamed Morsi's proclamations that his Egypt will be open to all religions, it'll be open to all genders, it'll be all inclusive, it'll be wonderful here. And yet what does he do? Crucifies opponents. Issues religious orders for anyone who opposes the Muslim Brotherhood to be terrorized. Shuts down all forms of free speech. It is a living embodiment of what is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. For those listening yesterday and on previous programs, you know that Muslims are specifically instructed to lie, to deceive those who are their opponents so that their opponents become easier prey. Now, these threats are not new. Back in April, an organization called the Jihad Group to Cleanse the Country threatened these media's outlets with painful and severe punishments, quote unquote. Apparently, now that Morsi has become the master of Egypt, threats are becoming reality, just as promises are routinely broken. And the threats are taking their toll. Sky News, which was the first to report about the crucifixions, has taken down its original article, though the URL still appears, and in the address box, the URL reads, quote, "Protesters crucified in front of Egypt's presidential palace." Now, you may choose to argue that Sky News removed the article on crucifixion, even though it was one of four Arabic news stations that covered it, because it found that it might not be true. But one should probably argue that it censored itself for fear that it would be the next victim in the reign of terror that's being championed against the media. We're going to return to this story after the break. If you would like to engage in today's conversation, please call us. Our number is 877-376-45. Shattering Myths. We're continuing our review of a story that appeared in WorldNet Daily. There's one that will follow it, so we will continue to learn as much as we can, because clearly what is happening in the Islamic world is going to affect our lives. It's going to lead to a world war. When the Muslim Brotherhood was first allowed back into to Egypt in the sense of being public, when they could hold their own rallies, they were prohibited from holding public rallies by the Mubarak regime. But when Mubarak was first deplaced and the head of the Muslim Brotherhood came back to Egypt, they met, and rather than tens of thousands of people showing up in Tahrir Square in the middle of Egypt, several million people showed up, and the chant was to destroy Israel. Death to Israel was the chant led by the head of the Muslim Brotherhood. They will collectively wage war against Israel, and they will unify the Sunni world to do so, as just as Iran will unify the Shia world to do so. And that war is going to explode. It's going to go way out of control. It's not going to be limited to fighting in Israel this time. And the entire world's going to be embroiled in it, just as the entire world is gradually being drawn into Syria, with China and Russia and Iran on one side, and the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Europe on the other. The whole world will be brought into this war, just as we're seeing it happen in Syria. So you ought to care about what's happening here. It's going to radically influence the quality of your life over the next 15 to 20 years. This article continues to say, in reality, there is little reason to doubt this crucifixion story about apostates, those who rejected Islam, being crucified right in front of the presidential palace in Cairo. Militant Muslims crucifying their opponents is a regular feature of the Islamic world. Recent cases coming from the Ivory Coast, where two Christian brothers were both crucified. Similarly, by supporters of a Muslim president who ousted a Christian. Once the Muslim president was empowered, Christians were crucified there in the Ivory Coast. In Indonesia, where Islamic separatists crucified a fellow Muslim for being a military informant. Now, Indonesia is the country that perpetrated genocide quite recently with help of the United States in East Timor, killing a quarter of a million Catholic Christians. In recent days, Islamics have crucified Christians, especially Christian children, in Iraq. Christians have been decimated in Iraq. One of the consequences of America's invasion is not only have the churches been bombed and burned, not only have the homes of Christians been bombed and burned, but Christian children have been crucified by Islamic fundamentalists. Moreover, those alleged to have been crucified in Egypt certainly fit the Quran's description of who deserves to be crucified. According to Allah, quote, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and who strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and feet should be cut off on opposite sides. This is Quran 5:33. It is the most vicious line ever uttered in the name of God. Quran 5:33. The thing that bothers me so much about it is not only people's universal ignorance of it, but the fact that George W. Bush, in his most famed speech to the Islamic world, saying that America was not at war with Islam, that Islam was a wonderful, loving, and peaceful religion, he quoted Quran 5:32, which is plagiarized from the Talmud, which speaks of if a person kills one, it's as if he killed the entire world. It's a line that is pilfered and plagiarized from the Talmud, and it's speaking of Abel. And it's a common rabbinic commentary which makes sense in the context of the Garden of Eden. And that line precedes Quran 5:33. And so the President of the United States, trying to convince the world that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion, cites the plagiarized story in the Quran from the Talmud, knowing full well that the next line of the Quran reads, "And the punishment for those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified. Their hands and feet should be cut off on opposite sides." When presidents of the United States, Obama has done the same thing, quoting 532 and not mentioning 533. When they do that, they are deceiving purposefully, deliberately. They know the truth and have chosen to lie to justify their personal agendas. This article continues to say, "Making mischief in the land is precisely what the secular media is being accused of. It's what Christians are being accused of. It's what I would be accused of by exposing the truth about Islam. By constantly exposing the Muslim Brotherhood and its Islamist agenda, you are making mischief in the land, according to the Quran, according to the wannabe God Allah, according to the most repulsive man who ever lived, Muhammad. Even the jihad group to cleanse the country, which threatens to liquidate any secular media, accuses them of, quote, creating chaos to implement the American and Zionist agenda." Finally, it is telling that only a few months ago, and for the first time in Egypt's modern history, an Egyptian MP, Minister of Parliament, proposed to institutionalize Sharia's most draconian punishments, including crucifixion. Crucifixions being perpetrated by the state of Israel, state of Egypt, to punish anyone who speaks against Islam. In short, under the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the bottle has been uncorked and the great Islamic genie has been set loose. Expect much worse to come. God told us exactly what's going to come as a result of Muslims becoming more fundamentalist. And in every vote that has been tallied across the Islamic world, approximately two-thirds of Muslims are voting for the most fundamentalist Islamic candidates. Islam is becoming more fundamentalist. The more fundamentalist Islam becomes, the more violent it becomes. The more anti-Semitic it becomes. The more enraged it becomes. The more lost its people become. The more hopeless the lives are of young Muslim boys and girls. And as they live these hopeless lives, indoctrinated by this savage religion, the inevitable conclusion is precisely what Yahweh predicted 3,500 years ago, that they will rise up in unison initially against Israel, and that that will begin the Third World War. That is a war where America is destroyed, my friends. It is a war where initially one out of every four people on this planet will die, and in its second phase, one-third of those remaining will cease to exist. Go into any crowded place and look at it and look into the eyes of the people. In less than 20 years, considerably less than 20 years, half of them will be dead. All because we chose to put our heads in the sand, because collectively Americans chose to be ignorant, and they allowed politicians who knew better to deceive them, to send troops off to fight wars that made bad situations worse, that committed economic pedophilia against our own children. There was a second article in WorldNet Daily, a companion article to this. It exposed more that there is reason to talk about. It begins, "The Middle East media confirm that during a recent rampage, Muslim Brotherhood operatives, quote, crucified those opposing Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi. They crucified them naked on trees in front of the presidential palace while abusing others," end quote. Raymond Ibrahim, a fellow with the Mideast Forum, an investigative project leading the investigative project on terrorism, said that the crucifixions are a product of who the Eastern media call partisans. Arabic media call them supporters, followers, and partisans of the Muslim Brotherhood, Ibrahim said. Here's the inside scoop here. In Yathrib, when Muhammad was forced to flee Mecca in shame following the satanic verses, following his mythical ride on the winged ass to Jerusalem, to the non-existent temple, when he returned from his mythical voyage and had spoken of the pagan goddesses that served as intermediaries in his once monotheistic religion that now had four gods and goddesses, Muhammad was laughed out of town. And as he did, he vowed revenge against the Meccans. And he went up to toward Yathrib, where along the way he met a dozen of the fiercest Arabs in Yathrib who pledged to wage war against all humankind on Muhammad's behalf. When he got there with a ragtag group of Meccans, and he found the Arabs of Yathrib, a caste structure was created, not unlike the caste structure that exists in Hinduism. And the caste structure was that the Muhammad and his fellow Meccans were the top of the food chain. They had the rights. They had control over the religion. And the Arabs in Yathrib were called the helpers. If you read the Islamic Hadith, it is a caste system. The helpers were then used to wage jihad and to terrorize the surrounding Arabs and Jews for the express benefit of the Meccans, who were head of the caste. The answer is today's partisans. They are the helpers. So when we read supporters, followers, partisans, and helpers of the Muslim Brotherhood, you should think of the caste system that Muhammad imposed in Yathrib. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back now to the concluding news portion of our program today. We're continuing to talk about the consequence of the Islamic Reformation as it has taken place in Egypt. Ibrahim, who has been commenting on it, says that the victims of the Islamic terrorism there, of crucifixion and of general mayhem, can be anyone, but they are most especially Egyptian Christians, the Copt. It's anyone who is resisting the new government, Ibrahim said. In this particular case, the people attacked and the people who were attacked and who were crucified were secular protesters. They weren't religious at all. They were just secularists. They were amongst those people who originally were beguiled into believing that we could have democracy and a secular government in Egypt, and why don't we sing songs for democracy? Well, these secular protesters who began this process have been usurped by an evil far worse than the government they opposed. This is why I constantly say that the invasion of Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq, the invasion of Vietnam was so counterproductive. Well, the democratic secularists in Egypt who called for the downfall of the Mubarak regime brought upon themselves a far worse fate. They were protected by Mubarak. They are being murdered by the very regime that replaced Mubarak. So just because a dictator is bad, Assad is horrible, doesn't mean that we should side with those who want to bring him down. Doesn't mean that in Iraq it was wise to bring down Saddam Hussein, because what replaced Saddam Hussein is vastly worse. This is what happened in Egypt. So these secular protesters were upset because of Morsi's hostile campaign against the secular media, especially of Toflik Okasha, who was constantly exposing him on his station until Morsi shut him down. Ibrahim said extra bluntly, or extra brutality, I should say, is reserved for Christians, but the crucifixions are because of Islamic doctrine, and they are required by the Quran. The time and other details about crucifixions, he said, were not readily available, but he said they're taking place all over Egypt today, and no one dares report about them for fear of being crucified themselves. The Center for Security Policy, senior fellow Claire Lopez, cited chapter and verse from the Quran to explain that the crucifixions are not simply normal for Islam, that they are demanded. Quote, crucifixion is a had, a punishment that is stipulated in the Quran. It is therefore an obligatory part of Sharia law, Lopez said. It has been a traditional punishment within the Islamic legal system of Sharia from the very beginning. Even though it's not exclusively Islamic, the Romans used it too. Romans haven't used it, however, for 1,800 years. Muslims are using it today. You know, when I am often written and people say, you know, yeah, you did a wonderful job of exposing Islam, but why didn't you expose Christianity? Of course, they're ignorant of what I've actually written. I've spent more time exposing and condemning Christianity than I have Islam. But the reality is I wrote Prophet of Doom first because Christians aren't out killing people en masse today, and Muslims are. Christians didn't fly planes into our buildings and kill 3,000 Americans over the matter of hours. Muslims did. Christians aren't responsible today for 99% of the world's terrorist acts. Muslims are. That's not to say that the Romans weren't evil. They were. It's not to say that the Christian church isn't evil. It is. But today, crucifixions and terrorism are being perpetrated by Muslims. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be condemned. It needs to be stopped. Quote, so the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood haven't the option to not, this is a double negative here from Claire, so the Muslim Brotherhood has not the option to not include crucifixion in their legal code. In other words, the Muslim Brotherhood, because they are resolutely fundamentalist Muslims, and they're going to impose Sharia law, crucifixion of anyone who speaks out against them and Islam, anyone who says that Muhammad was a rapist, a terrorist, a pedophile, and a mass murderer, will be crucified, because that is what the Quran says, that is what Sharia law demands, Lopez said. We may return and conclude this story in tomorrow's program. We may move on to another story which is sadder still. This is Shattering Myths, back after the news.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and many of you have heard my best-selling lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I'm going to let you know that I'll be in New York City Thursday, August 23rd, giving a free health seminar.